a very good evening to you. And welcome along to Sweet and Swing once again here on Manx Radio. My name's Howard Kane. As always, a pleasure to have your company on a Friday evening. What have we got? How about a bit of Teddy Wilson? Put on your dancing shoes for Victor Sylvester. Nice bit of Basie. Speaking of shoes, though, to start off, let's see if we can swing them a little bit in that shop.
Shoes were swinging on the floor there at the swing shoe shop. There were big black boots, jitterbug and a soft suede shoes, cut the rug in it. Cuban heels started trucking it. Why not drop in when you're shopping? And if your shoes have got a hole in them, feel they need a heel or sole in, come in and keep the rhythm rolling at the swing shoe shop.
Who wouldn't go to the swinging shoe shop? If one actually existed somewhere, it'd be very nice, wouldn't it? I go and get my shoes mended down those very handy cobblers down in town. Can't remember their name, so, but you know what I mean. Little hole in the wall. Wonderful chaps. Always do a great job. The swinging shoe shop. Strange name or title for a song, isn't it? The swinging shoe shop. I think perhaps, I don't know, reminiscent of its times, 1930s or thereabouts. I suppose a lot of people now wear shoes and chuck them out again. Where the swinging bit came into it, I don't really know. But there we are, Swing Shoe Shop, Jack Simpson and his sextet, with Mindy Jackson taking the vocals, about whom I can tell you very little, because I don't really know. And even when I look in the Book of Words, I'm not given much of a clue there either, because it doesn't even mention her. So if you know much about Mindy Jackson, the vocalist, let me know. Howard Kane at manxradio.com. Kane with an E, C-A-I-N-E. Jack Simpson himself, drummer, xylophone player, as we heard him rather effectively doing there with Sidney Kite and also Sidney Lipton. Worked with Jack Payne and Ambrose before forming his own bands, Hawaiian and tango bands originally, taking sort of, or making advantage of, that was sort of quite a thing at the time, I think, in vogue, wasn't it? And then went on to form what we heard there, the Jack Simpson Sextet in 1940, which evolved out of the five Jacks, consisting of Messrs. Simpson, Cooper, Collier, Penn and Miranda, who, yes, you're way ahead of me, were all called Jack. And he led that group until the post-war closure of music halls really forced its demise. And after that, he, as quite a few of the chaps did at one stage or another, and some of the women were vocalists, but a lot of the band leaders did chance their arm on the other side of the pond. He emigrated to California, which I think is where he ended his days, in the late 1970s or thereabouts. Still, great way to get going. Hope you are keeping well and you've been coping with the... Well, we haven't had three heat waves, have we? At the last count, on my house, in Croncavoddy anyway, we'd had one heat wave. Very welcome it was too. I'm not suggesting we want it all summer. 27 degrees, I think, for weeks on end might be a little bit much, but I can certainly stand more than 2 or 3 days a year. So just saying to the weather gods, quite happy for a bit more warm weather. Don't mind a bit of rain. Don't mind it just being low 20s or high teens, 21, 22. You know, we'll accept that at Croncavoddy. But getting up to the mid-20s, you know, it's quite nice, isn't it, to sit in your shorts and T-shirt at 8 or 9 o'clock at night and you're still warm. You've got your glass of wine or your gin and tonic or your Pimm's to hand, or soft drinks are available, of course. And very nice it is too. But I can live with it. I can live with it being warmer. For a wee while, in any case. Thank you. Nice knock on the woodblocks to finish off. Mirage. It must have been a fair way off. It must have, because they were galloping towards it. You always think Mirage is going to be a rather dreamy number, don't you? But that one's going a fair old lick, that one. Harry Roy and his band, the Cheeky Chappie, another one of those guys I'd love to have seen live, because you get the impression, looking at his face and what I've read about him, that he would have been a great entertainer at the front of the band. Don't know whether he was the greatest musician, but in a way, it didn't matter. Slong, it's a bit like politics. So long as the person at the top's got a lot of charisma, they'll do quite well. Even if they're a little bit useless, they'll still do quite well. I won't go into more politics, I'll just leave it there. But perhaps you have the idea of what I'm saying. Charisma counts for a lot when it comes to being in the public eye. And particularly back in the days of the dance bands, when you had to sort of lead the... You were responsible for the band in a way. You were the band to a degree, in that you were the public face of the band, if not necessarily... You didn't necessarily play in the band. You might not necessarily be the best musician in the band, but you would be the public face of the band, and they'd be the person that the public would recognise and think about, I guess, publicity shots and such like. The band would be full of great musicians, I've no doubt, but not necessarily all the ones who are going to get the kudos, as they say. Right, OK, I promised you a bit of Victor Sylvester. Dance, dance, dance. Well, that's a good name for a CD, isn't it? Long play CD. Didn't know we had such a thing as long play CD. I thought we had long play vinyl, but this is long play CD. Gosh, it's going back, isn't it? Oh, I see, 77 minutes. It's almost above, what's the top? 78 minutes, I think, a CD was meant to take. Although I'm sure I've got some CDs with more music than that on. But there we go. All right, dancing shoes on, or slippers, or, conversely, take your heels off, if you like, and then you can glide round the carpet rather nicely in bare feet, should you feel the urge. Why not? I would. The Boy Next Door. Yes, very nice indeed. Were you gliding around the floor, as is your wont? Or I would glide around the floor if I could dance, but as I've mentioned before more than once here on Sweet and Swing, it's not necessarily my forte. and by that I mean I was absolutely hopeless, and still am. I don't know what it is. I can hear rhythm. I'm, you know, I like to think I'm a reasonable drummer. I can definitely hear rhythm. Can I transport it into my feet or transfer it to my feet? No. They just seem to be like two blocks of lead at the end of my legs when it comes to moving gracefully. And again, as I've mentioned in the past, the old maestro and the mem sahib, my mum, used to glide round the floor effortlessly, I always thought, from memories back in the day. Although, do you get many dinner dancers now? They seem to be a thing as I grew up, and I frequently seem to be going to a dinner dance where you might be expected to waltz or foxtrot or quickstep. To be honest, albeit I still can't waltz or foxtrot or quickstep, I can't remember the last time I was invited anywhere where I might actually be asked to do so. I've been to Kayleigh's and I've been to discos and various other types of dance, but sort of ballroom dancing like that, I have friends who do it and go along to sort of ballroom dancing classes or lessons or such like, but a function whereby the old dinner dance, which was exactly that, wasn't it? A dinner with a dance thrown in, but it would be normally ballroom dancing of some kind. And I can't remember the last time I was invited to one. Maybe it's just as well as I can't dance, but have they died out? I don't really know. Have you been to one recently? You've been strutting your stuff on the ballroom floor? Are there many places left on the Isle of Man where you could? Because you think of places like the Lido or maybe the sort of the Villa Marina, I suppose, still has a nice dance floor, doesn't it? Lido long gone, or the Palace around there with that beautiful suspended floor, long gone. And the Aragon Hotel, of course, used to have a wonderful floor too. But yes, that's been private residence now for, a goodly number of years. Whether the owners still have that floor there, I don't know, to be perfectly honest. Although I do have a very early memory of going out there with the old maestro when Jeff Duke used to be the proprietor of the Aragon Hotel, I think going back in the day. When would that be? 70s maybe? Very late 60s, early 70s, somewhere around about there. And going out with the old maestro, and he was going out to see about playing there that evening or that weekend, and I was in tow. He must have been looking after me for whatever reason, I can't remember now. And other than the fact that, you know, I remember, oh, this is Mr. Duke, oh, hello, yes, and they went to have their debate about the piano and the music and what was going on, and I was left to my own devices to sort of amuse myself without getting into too much mischief, and I did so by rolling pennies across the dance floor. And it must have been, think about it, when was decimalisation? 71, 72? They were old pennies I had, not the little tiddler ones, the big old pennies. So it must have been before decimalisation. And they rolled beautifully from one side of the dance floor to the other. Still quite fancy the idea of doing it now, albeit I'm a little... might be a bit old for now. Don't know. Dear Sweet and Swing, how about a bit of Lena Horne, as I've been rummaging around before in the archives. And this one, I know we featured Lena some time back. Here she is, in any case, doing a medley of Duke Ellington numbers.
Goodbye. lights are turned down low. I'm so lonely, I'm so lonely, I could die. 'Cause there's nobody who cares about me. I'm just as low as any poor fool can be. So I sit and cry. I never wink back at fireflies. Now that the stars are in your eyes, I'm beginning to see the light. I never went in for afterglow or candlelight on the mistletoe. Now when you turn the lamp down low, I'm beginning to see the light. In the dark, then you came and caused a spark that's a full-on fire now. I never cared much for lantern shine, I never saw rainbows in my wine. Now that your lips are burning mine, I'm beginning to see the light. I'm beginning to see the light. I'm beginning to see. So I sit and cry. Thank you.
That's the way to do it. Yeah, ba-dam, bam, bam, woomph. Great ending out there. A couple of blues there because, yes, I was sort of inspired by Am I, or at least by Mood Indigo, of course, starting off that medley selection from Lena Horne, which was most enjoyable. I enjoyed that. Great voice she has too, and really give it a very jazzy sort of flavour there. I rather enjoyed that inflection of that. And her voice almost like a horn at the beginning. You couldn't really tell whether it was voice or horn, at least I couldn't, for a couple of minutes when that one started out. And then that was Lena Horne, I think, at the Waldorf Astoria with Nat Brandwin's orchestra, conducted by Lenny Hayton. That was in the late 1950s, December, New Year's Eve, in fact, December the 31st, 1956. A little bit before my time. And then we went into Ben Selvin and the Boys with Am I Blue, inspired by the Mood Indigo, of course, having the blues, as it were. And Ben Selvin, well, again, another one of those characters you may or may not have heard of before. It was very popular around the early part of the 20th century, so the 20s and I think the 30s. If you haven't heard to him or heard of him, then you might be surprised to hear that according to the Guinness Book of World Records, Selvin recorded more musical sides on 78s, that's 78 RPM discs, than any other person. Amazing, isn't it? And yet, if you say Ben Selvin to many people now, I dare say 90-plus percent of them, 95% of them maybe, I don't know, but I would have thought over 90% would shrug their shoulders and say, never heard of him. And yet, here he was, not that long ago, the most popular recording artist on the medium of the time, 78s. Now, I know we've moved on from 78 sometime, but it's less than 100 years ago, really, isn't it? And you think, already pretty much disappeared into obscurity. They're going to say, for one reason, for this prolific output, he recorded for dozens of different record labels, which is the way to do it during his productive time in the industry, using a different name for each label, of course, which does slightly explain why he might not have heard him as well, but still, it's incredible, really. And he's thought to have been on around about, and no one's 100% certain, because I don't think anyone sat down to count them, somewhere between 13,000 and 20,000 song titles. Ridiculous. I mean, yes, you're just not going to get anywhere near it really now, are you? Born in New York, the son of a Jewish Russian immigrant, and started his professional life, as a lot of them did, very young, at 15, playing the fiddles in New York nightclubs. And then 6 years later, he started out his own dance band, the Novelty Orchestra, and released what was alleged to be among the biggest selling popular song in his first quarter century of recorded music, the Dardanella, which is said to have sold more than 6 million copies and an additional million in sheet music. Wow. Amazing, isn't it? You wouldn't get that these days. He himself apparently, though, disputed all this, even though this is what the figures seem to suggest. In an interview, he said that the alleged record sales total, he says, were nonsensical, and said the actual sales of Dardanella and other purported million sellers in the 1920s, which is one, was round about 150,000 discs. Well, there's quite a difference, isn't there? Quite a difference between 6 million and 150,000. Which probably means the answer is somewhere in the middle. Who knows? A lot, in any case. But yeah, that's quite some range. Either way, he was awarded a gold disc by the Recording Industry Association of America, the RIAA, and presented to him on his retirement in March of 1963, when I'd be all of, 4 months old. And he was retiring. Oh, well. But again, it is so often the case, isn't it? A man who was so prolific, so popular, and I just think now, maybe I'm doing him a disservice. Maybe everyone thinks, of course, you haven't heard of Ben Selvin. Honestly, ridiculous, Howard. What are you talking about? I'm taking an educated guess, though, that not many people remember that name. Thank you.
a boat that's leaving soon for New York. Come with me, that's where we belong. Sister, you and me can live that high life in New York. Come with me, there we can't go wrong. Sister, I'll buy you the swellest mansion up on Upper Fifth Avenue. And through Harlem we'll go strutting, we'll go a strutting, and there'll be nothing too good for you. I'll dress you in silks and satins, the latest Paris styles. And all your blues you'll be forgetting, you'll be forgetting. There'll be no fretting, just nothing but smiles. Come along with me, that's the place. Don't be a fool, come along, come along. There's a boat that's leaving soon for New York. Come with me, that's where we belong. Sister, that's where we belong.
Avon Long singing there. There's another name you probably never heard of. Avon Long, there's a boat that's leaving soon for New York. And that's exactly Leo Reisman and the band with Avon Long taking the vocals there. And Avon, interesting character that he sort of started out as a dancer and he actually had typhoid when he was very young. He was about 2 years old. And bizarrely, he sort of later said that the disease affected his feet, giving him the hard bone structure that a dancer really needs. Not many people say that he could have had a benefit from having typhoid. You wouldn't think, would you? But there we go. He was possibly in a class of one on that front. And he went on to attend Frederick Douglass High School, where he was really influenced by the drama coach Nellie Buchanan. And in 28, that's 1928, of course, learned that a deficiency of just one credit was going to prevent him from graduating. One credit? Oh dear, so close and so far. And he couldn't be bothered returning for another credit. So he dropped out of school and then moved from Boston to New York, began working in Harlem and went on to do pretty well for himself at the end of the day. Good sound in any case, and a number you don't often hear these days. Tish Sweet and Swing, H with you through until the top of the hour. Still to come, we have our jazz trumpet, of course. We've been looking at our jazz trumpeters over the years. We also have a little bit of bassy. I promised you a bit of bassy, and you're going to get a bit of bassy. Of course you are, yeah. I also promised you a bit of this man as well, didn't I? Teddy Wilson. Teddy Wilson and the boys there. Wilson, band leader, piano player, composer, arranger. Born in 1912 and died in a place I'm heading off to in the next few days, actually in Connecticut, not that long ago, in the scale of things, 1986. I know that's almost 40 years back, but in the scale of things, when it comes to sweet and swing, sounds positively recent, it has to be said. In the 30s, he worked with Louis Armstrong and made his first records with the likes of Louis Armstrong. He also worked with Benny Carter and Jimmy Noon. And in the mid-30s, along with drummer Gene Krupa, started making records with a trio led by, yes, the clarinetist Benny Goodman. And then with the addition of Lionel Hampton on the vibes in the mid-30s, one of the first integrated small groups in jazz, leading the way for sort of leading into sort of bebop and the more modern small groups that we're familiar with in modern jazz today. But yeah, a who's who. You name it, Teddy will have played with them at some stage or other. Now then, here's a piece that I'm pretty familiar with over the years. It used to be a great, quite often an encore or a crowd pleaser for the old man, the old maestro and the old man, Jim and myself and the boys. He played it before I was around and played it with me and played it on his own. But like I said, if we were out playing with a trio, with the quartet, this would often feature somewhere in the set, quite often, as some sort of perhaps encore, or towards the end in any case. It always seemed to be a bit of a crowd pleaser. You can't go wrong with a little bit of boogie woogie style, and this is Honky Tonk Train Blues. Thank you. The Atomic Mr. Basie. Well, if you know the album, you'll know the album. It has a mushroom cloud in the front. I don't know whether it's particularly PC these days, but it's a cracking album in any case, if you haven't heard it. Wonderful stuff. Was Count Basie, not from the Atomic Mr. Basie in this case, but a great track in any case. Shiny Stockings, and very recognisably Basie-styled. Everyone calls him Count Basie. I was just thinking, you know, if I said to you, what was his real name? You might struggle for a minute, might you? To say he was actually William James Basie. And a pianist, organist, bandleader, composer. Formed the Count Basie Orchestra in 1935, and in 1936 took them to Chicago for a pretty long engagement and their first recording, and led the group then for the best part of the next half a century, creating innovations like the use of the two split tenor saxophones, emphasising the rhythm section, riffing with big bands, using arrangers to get that sound. He also had that lovely flat-handed minimalist style. If you ever saw him playing the piano, you quite often see people say, you know, the hands are sort of held up at an angle, flexed at the wrist. And if you see Basie playing the piano, absolutely flat hands. They're parallel with the keyboard. Fascinating. It just goes to prove that, you know, you can, you can play the piano in different styles. You can sort of be taught in one way, but lots of other ways actually do work. Lovely stuff. I enjoyed that. Right, where are we heading from there? Well, I'll tell you what, we haven't had any vocals for a wee while, have we? So we'll remedy that straight away, and we'll have Sam Brown and a little bit of dancing earlier on. Let's now face the music and dance.
There may be trouble. Different tune, and then
there may be
teardrops to share. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance.
Let's face the music and dance. Dance. Let's face the music and
little bit of Wingy Minoni to finish off our trumpeter from the classic era. Continuing our little mini-series. Based in New Orleans, a great favourite of the Bing Crosby Hollywood crowd. And used to sing as well, a bit like Louis Armstrong. Not on this one, though. Although this does predate Jumpy Nerves, it's called, based on the Tax Paper Stomp from 1930. I'll see you, same time, same place, in a couple of weeks' time. Jumping in next week, of course. Look after yourselves. Whatever you're doing, keep smiling. See you then. Cheerio.